Only believe. You have your Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter number 6. Draw our attention to one of the fundamental issues of our society among Christians. You'll notice in Matthew chapter 6 three things. I want you to see chapter 6 verse 33. We'll just take one verse. And if we could have just applied this verse to our life, it would change us. I don't think we as American Christians really know the gravity of Christianity around the world and its danger. There are Christians today in prison all around the world because of their faith in Christ. And in America, we're safe. We have rights. And yet, the Lord's trying to get us to understand something in Matthew chapter 6, to trust Him. We don't have to trust Him when we have a good job. We don't have to trust Him when we have good health. We don't have to trust Him when we've got good friends. But you'll notice He says in verse 33, after He said, look, be careful of where your focus is. Be careful where your treasure is, because where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be. You'll notice He says in verse 24 of Matthew 6, for no man can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. So He brings up a passage and He says, look, if you see the grass of the field and beautiful lilies of the field, they're gorgeous. When you see them come up early in the morning and the dew's on them, and they're just beautiful, whether they're yellow or whether they're white or whether they're sort of an orchid color, you know, look how beautiful they are. He said, and in all of their glory, Solomon was not arrayed in his greatest robes like these lilies of the valley. He said, and they don't toil and strive. They trust me. And he said, why do you labor so much? You work so hard and so many hours and you do so many things to get this and to get that. And so He tells us here how to have the Lord's blessing. I want to draw your attention to it this morning. Number one, I want you to see we have to have a purpose in life. His purpose. Notice, if you would, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He said, look, I want you to seek me first. Seek my kingdom first, where I reign supreme. I want you to seek out and say, Lord, what can I do to be in heaven? He said, I want to seek heaven first. So the first thing is, how do I get there? You know, if you were to ask 100 people outside church today and say, how does a person get to heaven? Most of the time you'll get to say, well, by doing good. By trying to treat your fellow man good. They have no idea how that Jesus dying on the cross benefits them. They cannot make the connection. They know Jesus died, and if you were to say, why did Jesus die, they could all say, almost everyone would say, for the world, for man, for me. But they don't know how to put the two together. And He said, but seek ye the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God, He says, I want you to seek. It's to pursue. And the word seek is eteo. It's to run after something with the intention of catching it. It's not just a leisurely jog. You see people sort of jogging up the neighborhood down the road. That's not this word. It's to be desperate to catch it. So you have to be desperate for the kingdom of God. And so what do I do? How do I find out that I'm on my way to heaven and know it? Well, simply, we trust the Lord as our Savior. There comes a point in life whenever you must realize that you're a sinner. You don't deserve to go to heaven. And all of sin comes short of the glory of God. We looked at that in Sunday school this morning. And the list of sins is a mile long. And all of us are full of them. All of us are. Somehow we have to get rid of those sins before we have the right to get into heaven. And we've got nothing God wants. We haven't got intellect that God wants. He doesn't need our money. His streets are paved with gold. When we step foot inside heaven, we're going to realize we have nothing that He wants except one thing. He wants us to ask him to forgive us of our sin. He's sick and tired of the wayward life of sinners. And he wants us to come to him and say, Lord, will you forgive me? I'm sorry. He wants us to admit to him that we've done wrong. And we want to be forgiven. You see, sin is a trespass against God, and he wants us to make things right so that he can be close to us again. You know, God made you and I for fellowship. He made you for the express purpose that he could spend time with you, both in this life and in heaven. And we've messed all that up. Because when we choose the things where our heart is of this life, we stray away from him. So I said, look, I want you to choose heaven. First of all, seek the kingdom of God. Have you sought the salvation that only Jesus can provide you? Now, notice number two. Not only the purpose is to trust Christ as Savior, but notice the next purpose. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. You and I want to seek, pursue after being like him, being what he wants us to be, his righteousness, his holiness. Lord, how can I be like you? How can I have the righteousness that you have? Now, you understand, we cannot be perfect. None of us in this room can live a perfect life. But you can try your best to do a good job. In the NFL, they have ratings on every player in the NFL. And the way they do it is they go through the film, and they watch their every play to see how well they do, and they rate them. And so on Monday morning after an NFL game, they'll have a film session where they'll call everybody in and they'll point out, look here, your cornerback, you missed this play. Look, here's this why they got this touchdown. Look, you missed this tackle as a linebacker. You missed. And so they go through it, and each guy gets a rating in the that's on the field. Well, if we did that, I wonder how good we would do if we rated ourselves in righteousness of Christ. I wonder how good we would do. Now, keep in mind, it's to seek it. It's to passionately want to have the righteousness of Christ, want to have the characteristics of Jesus Christ. It's to desperately seeking to have his gentleness, his kindness, his grace, to have his forgiveness, to get rid of our anger and our bitterness. Somebody says something, Lord, I want to have your righteousness. I want to be able to forgive them. Lord, I want to be able to put that behind me. Notice what he says in verse number 19. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. He's not saying you and I shouldn't save money for a rainy day. He's saying that shouldn't be the purpose of your life. It's to get money. It's to get a house. That's not the purpose of any life that he's created in this world. And he said, look, I want you to seek heaven. I want you to seek the kingdom of God. I want you to trust me as Savior. But then I want you to seek my righteousness. I want you to seek to be like me. I want you to seek the things that I say are right. Now, this word righteous is a legal term for that which is right according to me, to the Word of God. So you and I can take the Word of God and we can begin to study it and we can see things in here that we're supposed to do. For instance, a husband is supposed to love your wife. So you can look at that and say, well, I am going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to seek to love my wife more because that's a part of right before God. I can seek to love my husband. That's right before God. I can seek to love my parents, to obey my parents. That's right before God. I can seek to think the right thoughts, to not be bitter when somebody does something to me. The Bible says for me to pray for those that despitefully use me. Well, that's to seek the righteousness of Christ. I'm going to pray for those people. I prayed for some people this morning that have treated me bad over the years, and I look back and I pray for them every day. Lord, bless them. Lord, forgive them. And I'm reminded this morning, pray for those that despitefully use you. Everybody in this room has had somebody that's despitefully used you. What are you doing with that? Is it laying in your heart? Is it something that you don't like that person? You don't like to be around them? I don't want any part of them. Just leave me alone. There is this righteousness that Christ says, I want you to get rid of that, put it aside, and be like me. I want you to seek my righteousness. Pray for them. I love them like I love you. I know they didn't do right, but how many of us in this room have ever done somebody else wrong? Raise your hand. Have you ever done somebody wrong? Now, if your hand's not up, then you did the other wrong. You lied, okay? So everybody in this room, we either lie or we do people wrong or there's all kinds of things we do when we look at Scripture and we say, oh my, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize this. Oh my. Notice if you would, he says in verse number 14 of this same passage, notice this, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespass. So he said, look, I want you to forgive people. A trespass is when they cross over the line. They do something to you they ought not to have done. I want you to forgive them. The purpose in your heart is to say, Lord, I want to treat people like you want me to. Lord, I want to love people like you want me to. Lord, I want to treat my wife, my husband, my children, my boss, my coworkers the way you want me to. I want to show them your righteousness. Seek it with all your heart. I wonder how many of us, that's our purpose. I mean, your purpose is to be like Christ. Reaching forth, our theme for the year. Now, that's coinciding with the word to seek. It's to go after something, to reach for something. It's to stretch yourself. You know, very few people really get into a gym and push themselves to a limit. In other words, you start pushing up weights and you get to the point where your body starts shaking and you're trying to get one more rep, one more time up, or you're running or riding on your bicycle and you're pressing till your legs are burning and you say, if I can just go one more half a mile, one more quarter of a mile, if I can just get one more, and we begin to ease up. You know, everybody in this room, you have to decide what your purpose is in life. You have to decide what your purposes are and say, Lord, are these pleasing in your sight? What is your purpose? And he says in this passage, he says, I want you to not have the purpose of financial wealth, gain. I want you to trust me and let me take care of that. Notice what he says in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, I don't want you to worry about them. I want you to trust me. I don't want you to have as your purpose in life to make a lot of money. He said, I want you to trust me. I want you to have your purpose in life to be like Christ. I want you to have your purpose in life to be all the kind of wife you can be, all the kind of husband you can be, all the kind of father or mother you can be. I want you to seek that with all of your heart. How many of us have sought that? Look here. I want you to seek the Lord. Now, isn't it amazing that Matthew 6 starts out with the Lord first? Notice if you would, in verse number 2. When thou doest thine alms, when you give money an offering, do not sound a trumpet as before thee. The Pharisees would get together when they're going to give an offering. They'd want everybody to know it, so they'd pay a trumpeter, and he would say, play the trumpet, I'm putting my offering in, put the trumpet in. Now we look at that and say, that is ridiculous. But that was the common theme of the day. And the Lord said, look, I'm not interested in that. I don't need your money. Notice what he says. Therefore, verse 2, Matthew 6, 2, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. In other words, one of your purposes is not to have men look at you and say, look how successful they are. Look at what they're doing for God. Look at what they're doing at work. Look at all the things they have done. Look at all the things they've accomplished. That is not your purpose, to receive the glory of men. That's not to be a purpose. Notice what he says in verse number 2, the last phrase. He says, they have their reward. So my question is, are you laying up treasure in heaven? Are your purposes of life heavenly purposes? Or are your earthly purposes in life? Notice it with me if you would. He says in verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. So we have the glory of men and to be seen of men, to be noticed. to have the praise of men. Wow, look how good a person that is. Look how good a person they are. Look what they give money. Look how much they give. God is not interested in that. Yes, there are standards that God has for a Christian to live by. Those things protect us. For me to tithe and get an offering protects my heart from getting greedy. I give to the Lord every offering, every check that I receive. So, Lord, thank you. I recognize you've given to me, and I'm giving back to you. That's what tithing is about and giving an offering. That's God's plan. Whether he needs it or not, God doesn't need our money. We need to give because we want to be like him, because God gives to us. He is good to us beyond our wildest dreams. Notice, if you would, he says, verse 6, but when thou prayest, in other words, you don't come to church to make a show. He said, I don't want you to come to church and put on a show so that people say, oh, so-and-so's here today. The idea is I got to make sure the pastor knows I'm there. I got to make sure the Sunday school teacher knows I'm there. I want my wife to know that I'm going to church. I want my husband to know I'm going to church. Look, folks, what's the purpose of coming to church? It's to learn more of Christ. It's to get a little closer to him. It's to walk with him. Did you know Pastor Pittman did not invent church? Did you know that? Did you know I didn't put the rule in, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is? I didn't write that either. You're supposed to come to the Lord's house because God says, I'm waiting on you. I want to speak to your heart. Notice he says, I want you to talk to me. And notice what he says here in verse number 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. You know what a closet is? Now, okay, look here. All right. If I'm going to pray, and this is my closet, I'm going to go in the closet. Okay. You can't see me. You can't hear me. Communication is not so you see anything. The communication is strictly, and the purpose is, Lord, I want to talk to you. Private conversation. He said, that's what I want from you. Do you realize the chapter starts out with private conversation between you and the great God of heaven? That's one of our purposes. Notice he says, verse number 6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou shut thy door. The idea is it's just you and I. How many of us as Christians, one of our purposes is, I'm getting up this morning, and I'm going to get to talk to the Lord. I'm going to get to spend some time with the Lord of heaven. I'm going to get on my knees and pray. Do you really believe that God is listening? Are you spending time with him? Do you understand it's one of the purposes? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But seek him. How many Christians are desperate to get up in the morning to say, Lord, I want to talk to you this morning. I got something I got to talk to you about. Let me ask you this question. If your father was very wealthy, if your father was a billionaire, and you had some needs, you were doing your best, would you hesitate to say, Dad, could I talk to you about something? I mean, something out of your control. Somebody wrecked your car, you're in the hospital, you need some help. Dad, would you come? You wouldn't have any doubt that you would talk to him. Our Heavenly Father is far more loving than any earthly father we could ever have. And yet we get into trouble, whether it's emotional troubles we carry or relationship troubles that we carry, and we don't go to our closet and close the door and say, Lord, now it's just you and I. Could I just share my heart with you? The Lord made you for that. He made me for that. It's one of my purposes of life. But he says, you have to be careful, because if you're not careful, I want this house and I want this car and I want some money in the bank. I want to go to this vacation spot. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We forget all about in the morning. I get a chance to spend time with the Lord. Where are your purposes today? What are they? Number one is your purpose to meet with the Lord, to walk with the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 6. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So you know what he's trying to say? I want to prove to you that I am real. So I want you to go to a quiet place, get on your knees and talk to me. And if nobody else hears it, then when I answer your prayers, you will know it is me. But we don't do that. We might spend 5 or 10 minutes with the Lord. But he says, notice if you would, when you go daily, he wants us to be there. Psalm says daily, early in the morning. The psalmist said, early will I seek thee. I want to talk to you. One of the first things I want to do is get up. And maybe your first thing is you got to get coffee so that your eyes start opening up. I don't know, maybe that's what it is. You get up. I've seen some people like that. And I drink coffee or tea to get my voice to not be as gravelly. After 50 years of preaching, it's just a little bit that way. But I come in the morning and I get a cup of coffee and I hate it. I've tried for 8 years to like coffee. I don't know how anybody likes coffee. It's medicine to me. I put it in and I go, oh, every morning. Oh, Lord, I just want to be able to talk. Oh, I drink this coffee and it goes down. And I cannot stand coffee, but I have to. Everybody's got it. Every place you go, at this little church, I went there and my voice was a little gravelly and I said, hey, do you have anything hot? Sure, there's coffee over there. I said, oh, okay, great. Went over, got a cup of coffee, started drinking. My voice started leveling out a little bit. I said, Lord, thank you. And I look at it and I say, well, you know, some people live for coffee. How many of you live for coffee? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Be honest. Let me see it. Sinners. I'm telling you. You need to confess. No, really and truly, we have certain things that are a joy to us. You know, the greatest joy ought not to be a morning coffee. It ought to be get up. I get to talk to the Lord this morning. Lord, could I talk to you for a second? Maybe your coffee's right there so your voice is not gravelly so you can talk to him. Maybe you take the coffee and the caffeine, double caffeine loaded coffee. I saw that the other day. I went down and bought some of that stuff. And you know what I found out? Double caffeine. What would that do to me? I cannot imagine. I look at it, I said, I would never be able to slow down, never be able to close my eyes. I think about it. Look here, I always drink caffeine-free stuff. That's what I try to do so I can slow down a little bit. I can imagine some people get up, I can't function until I get my coffee in the morning. The Lord says, would you put me, now I don't want you to know this, purposes, but then I want you to see priorities. But seek ye what? First. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm trying to please the Lord. Is he first? Now, everybody knows what we want to be number one means. You talk with certain football players. Tom Brady's one of them. I hate it when we're not the last team standing. You know why? Because that means we lost. That was our last taste in our mouth was a loss. Now, they had more success than anybody else. And so everybody says, look, I want to have the taste of my mouth. The last thing was a win. I want to be first. You know what the Lord says? I made you, and I want you to put me first. So the priorities of every Christian are to put the Lord first. Now, I grew up in a Christian home when I was young, before my home broke up. And I was taught the principles of God's word that the Lord's first. We always got up in the morning. We went to church every Sunday morning. We were very faithful. Went on vacation. We went to church. I just thought that Sundays were for church. First day of the week. So when I got to be 15, 16 years old, got my first job, I said, look, can I get off a little early tonight? I want to go to church Wednesday night. And I was driving. The first place I drove to was church. Because I want the Lord to know you're first. Now, folks, listen. You can put the Lord any place on your list that you want. But he made you to put him first. And he knows where in the list he is. And if you look at your life and the time spent, you'll know where he is. You'll know how important being in the Lord's house with him is. Folks, it's not just you come to church to be entertained. You don't come to church to hear a good this or that, a good song or message or a good hymn history or something like that. You come to church and say, Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, I want you to be first to me. I want to put you first. I want to love you first. I want you to know that you're most important to me. I remember whenever Susan and I were dating and I was finishing up school and I could hardly wait to get married, and the first thing I did, you know who first met me at the airport? Was Susan. She came to the airport to meet me. I wouldn't have wanted anybody else. I mean, I love my mom, but I wanted to see Susan first. That's who I'd fallen in love with. And so then, you know, when I'd work all week, I mean, I'd work. I couldn't see her. But I remember digging ditches with Travis Cumbus. Travis Cumbus was a friend of mine. Had been a pastor for 40 years, 50 years. We would dig ditches. My father's plumbing company or my uncle's plumbing company would dig ditches. And we'd talk about how wonderful our girlfriends were. Now, we were both in love and we were getting ready to get married as fiancés. We'd talk about them and we'd dig ditches and talk. You know why? Because they were first in our lives. I think a lot of marriages, your husband's not first. Your wife's not first. That's what God said. And the bottom line is, he and his righteousness, they're not first. We can add a little bit of that. It's like salt. We want everything else in our meal, but we'll add a little salt. You know what he wants to be? He wants to be the main course. He wants to be first in your life. When you get up in the morning, Lord, I want to talk to you for a minute. And we go to our closet, close the door, we find that quiet place, and we begin to pour our heart out to him. I have a prayer list. I get up in the morning, and before I take my shower, I've spent time with the Lord. Read God's word, and I pray and talk to him. I pray for people, and I pray for my enemies, and I pray for those people whom I love very much. And I pray, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me to do the right today. Lord, have forgive me the sins that I've committed. Lord, I want to please. I want to be like you. And so I want you to be first, and I want you to know it. And anytime I slip up and get you to second, let me know. That's what God wants. Do you understand? In the Garden of Eden, why did he make Adam and Eve? So they could walk with him in the cool of the evening and they could spend time together. That's why he made us. So where do we get off putting him down the list? Oh, I'll go to church when I need to. I'll pray in the mornings whenever I have time. He's not first or second or third. You know, your mate knows if they're first. They know if they're first by the time you spend, by the way you talk to them, by the respect that you give them, by the way you spend your money. When Susan was here, and I hadn't bought her a new dress in a while, it'd come up in my mind, wow, I need to take her shopping. It was because I wanted her to know that I loved her. Wow, I haven't taken her on a date. I was with the family up here in this church over the weekend and said, yeah, when we take our dates, we go to the gun range and we both have pistols and we shoot, but we haven't gone very much. And I said, wow, that's a great date, isn't it? Go to the gun range. Maybe you're chasing me, trying to avoid the bullets or what, I don't know. But the idea is that, look, spend time together. Do you still date each other? If you're married, do you still date each other? The joy for Susan and I when Jeremy got on the plane to go to college. I was talking to another family. Their kids getting ready to go to college. And they said, man, it's going to be tough when our kids go to college. I said, well, it wasn't for us. They said, what? I said, when we saw Jeremy get on that plane to go, I looked at her. She looked at me. High five. Let's go party. We have a good time. And we went and did stuff together. Now we got money to spend on us. And now let's go have a good time. And we don't have to worry about Jeremy being back home. Is he okay? Let's go have a good time. Now, don't get me wrong. We love Jeremy. But you understand priorities? Who's first? I think a lot of people got their kids first. I think a lot of people got their job first. Because the job is the engine for life. No, it is not. He is the engine for life. That's why he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is your list of priorities today? Look at your life. You got 168 hours in a week. How many of those hours do you spend with him? Ask yourself. Let me take the test. Sit down this afternoon and find out how much time you spend with the Lord out of 168 hours. Do you remember what Jesus did whenever he was on earth? There was a time he came, he got off the boat and he went up into a mountain to do what? All night. Talk to his father. He was first. He was always talking about his father. He and his father. First. What's first? You know, you don't realize how much you miss somebody till they're gone. Now, I love Susan very much, and I enjoyed spending time with her, and I thought I valued her. But when I went to my drawer or clothes, and they weren't in there and folded, the first week I said, what happened? I mean, who's going to do that? Fold up my underclothes, put them in the drawer, put my socks, put them together, and put them in there. I looked at them, you know what? Nobody even washed them. I said, what is going on? And then to go to the kitchen. There was nothing being prepared. I said, I'm hungry. You know, I'm down there in my house, and I'm looking around. I say, man, she did a lot. Wow. And then, you know, one thing I used to make fun of her of was dusting. I said, who cares about dusting? She said, I don't want dust all over the place. I said, I can't even see dust. I said, I don't care about the dust. Do you know what now? I know what she's talking about. I looked through the house. I got dust on this. It's like dust is all in my house. I don't know what. I think Jeremy upstairs is just blowing dust down. I don't know what it is. I look at it and I say, I see what she's talking about now because I have to take care of it. You know what? When you get into trouble and the Lord's presence is not dear to you, you feel alone. And I'm telling you, if you don't put him first, you're going to get there. You're going to be in the hospital room, or you're going to be in the hotel room, or you're going to be at work, and you're going to get your pink slip, and you're going to say, oh my, what's next? But when you put the Lord Jesus first and he says, I got everything else, you can live a life of great joy and peace because you purpose in your heart, you prioritize your life, and he says, I'll take care of the provisions. Notice what he says. Look in verse 33. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I love that. The list of priorities, seek what's right. Seek him. Do it first, not second or third. It comes before your job. Let me tell you this. It comes before. I know now why Jesus said, love me first more than your mate. Susan and I would talk about that because when I lost Susan to heaven, I didn't lose everything. I lost my best friend in this life, but I could still go to my closet and say, Lord, I'm hurting today. Could you encourage me? I remember David encouraged himself in the Lord when he lost his wife and children. Only he got them back. But the Lord says, I will be your joy. I want to be your presence. And in Exodus chapter 33, Moses had it right. The Lord says, I'm tired of you guys. You're not putting me first. You're not doing what's right. You go on your own. And Moses said, wait a minute, Lord. You're everything to us. Your presence, it makes a difference between us and every other people on earth. That's what he said. And I'm afraid we don't understand that. We don't believe that. Because his presence can be lost. Not the Holy Spirit, but that warmth and closeness. If we don't purpose in our heart to be like him, to live like he wants, prioritize our life so that we can keep him first and then say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Now, notice what he says. I like this. And all these things should be added unto you. Do you know what he says in Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He said, look, I'll take care of you. Now, folks, tonight, today, either you believe there's a God in heaven that's strong enough to take you to heaven and to provide for your needs, or you don't. But the same book that promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, promised, put me first and I'll provide all the things of this life. But he goes first. You know, I think about the way the Lord provides for us as a church. It seems like he's providing for us in a miraculous way. And if we just keep him first and keep trying to do the right thing, he said, I'll take care of the rest of it. Either he will, or we don't trust him. Today, who are you trusting with your money? You know, he said this. He said in one of the minor prophets, he said, you are laboring to build sealed houses, houses with wood ceilings, beautiful things, and taking your money and putting it in a bag with holes in it. Now, I had a pair of pants. I threw them away two weeks ago because it had a hole in the pocket. And I kept putting stuff in it and finding it on the ground behind me. I said, what is that? So you know what I did? I got rid of the pants. They were perfect in every way except the pocket was all tore up. And I think it was the keys that I kept in it, just tore up the bottom of the pocket. It's no good to me. Every time I put my keys in my pocket, hit the ground. I put money in the pocket, hit the ground. It's no good. And that's why you and I cannot say, I'll take charge of my own life. The Lord says, you can't do it as well as I can. Will you put me first? Will you trust me? I will take care of you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many of you are trying for things today and not him? Who's first? Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. Ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn, Who's First? I know now that when you sing the song that we're going to sing today, I've decided to follow Jesus, it probably carries a lot more dimension and weight to it. But I would ask you today, have you decided to follow Jesus first? Maybe you're here today and you've looked at your life and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Why don't you come and trust him today? He loves you. He died for you. And maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I've trusted the Lord as my Savior. I know that, but I've just kind of lost my way a little bit. My purposes are all out of whack. I'm trying to please my boss, and that's all I think about. I'm trying to keep my job, or I'm trying to move up the ladder, or I'm looking at this, the house or the car. Or I'm really got my focuses on things of this life, and would you pray for me that I could readjust my purposes? And maybe your priorities are out of whack. Your mate knows it. Your family knows it. Your boss knows it. But most of all, the Lord knows it. Why don't you come to this altar this morning and say, Lord, could have put you first again. Do you realize priorities slip very quickly? So do purposes. But the promise of provision never slips. God always keeps it. And all these things shall be added unto you. Do you want to work for him, or you want the Lord to add them to you? Put him first. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. If you need to come, first verse, would you just step out and say, Lord, could I talk to you for a minute? Make your prayer closet right down here at the front for just a few moments and talk to him. He would delight in hearing you. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. You see us. You know us. Lord, help us to make our purposes pleasing to you. Lord, help us to readjust them and get them right. Lord, help us to get our priorities right in the proper order. You first. And then, Lord, let us trust you to provide. In your name we pray.